Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airways of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. And, of course, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. Had the pleasure of playing a voicemail from Mr. Adam Shine from SiriusXM's Morning Drive Show, 9 to 12 noon, right here over at SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio airwaves. So I love getting a voicemail from him. I think it'll scare the living hell out of me if one day Doggy leaves a voicemail message for me. Knowing him, he'll probably cause trouble and do that. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we got a jam-packed show coming your way. Got a member of the New England Patriots coming on the show a little bit later on. Of course, we've got an AFC and an NFC championship game to talk about. We got some breaking news from college football and its playoff system and what they're going to do. LeBron James has made news yet again, commenting and pushing back after hearing about, you know, what the story was written on ESPN by Baxter Holmes, and LeBron was responding to that. We've got that to get into, and of course, some new coaching hires to touch on as well. Jesse Minter in Baltimore, the Buffalo Bills set to interview not just Mike McDaniel's former head coach for the Miami Dolphins, but also Phillip Rivers, the potential Hall of Fame quarterback formerly of the San Diego Chargers, who are now the Los Angeles Chargers, before he retired years ago as a member of the Indianapolis Colts, who ultimately brought him back after a damn 5-year hiatus to try and win some football games for them this season. And it didn't work out, but obviously Phillip Rivers is a hell of a guy, highly intelligent, knows football, coaches high school football right now. So we'll talk about all of that as the show progresses. The first order of business to get into is this AFC and this NFC championship game. When I look at the NFC championship game, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, I consider this our Super Bowl. I'm looking at the Los Angeles Rams. I'm looking at the Seattle Seahawks. I'm telling you right now, when I look at the Rams and the Seattle Seahawks, I'm here to let you know, I think this is the Super Bowl. I think the winner of this game wins the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to lie, I'm hoping it's the Los Angeles Rams. I don't blame anybody out there that's got the Seattle Seahawks as the favorites. Their defense is real. It's legit. It's big time. Charbonnet is out with the ACL injury. You still got Kenneth Walker running the football. You got Sam Darnold throwing the football. You got Smith and Jigba catching passes, the brother special. I think, however, this comes down to Matthew Stafford versus Sam Darnold. And with that matchup, I understand that it's not the same as it was in Minnesota last year. There's a different team, and I get that part. I'm here to tell you right now, I'm going with Matthew Stafford all day, every day. I believe he will win league MVP honors over Drake May. When you look at 46 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 65 completions, a 71 QBR, I got nothing but love for Matthew Stafford. 37 years of age, came into the season supposedly, purportedly having a bad back. None of that matters now. I'm going with Matthew Stafford. 5 postseason comeback wins. Nobody has won more playoff games since Matthew Stafford arrived in Los Angeles other than Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's it. This is Matthew Stafford we're talking about here, with Puka Nacua as a weapon, with Devontae Adams, who blessed us with his presence right on this radio show a little over a week ago before the game against Chicago, with Kyren Williams running the football, with an offensive line that protects him. Matthew Stafford is a stud. He's one of the greatest throwers of the football we have ever seen in NFL history. It wasn't his fault he was mired in football purgatory for 12 years playing for the Detroit Lions. That organizationally, they were just a mess. That the Los Angeles Rams ultimately got him up out of there by offering Jared Goff and other assets to get Matthew Stafford. And what did they do? They immediately won a Super Bowl. And last year against the Philadelphia Eagles, it was the only tough matchup the Philadelphia Eagles had. They beat Green Bay in the postseason in lopsided fashion. They annihilated the Commanders in lopsided fashion, dropping 55 on them in the NFC Championship game. And then after that, they went into the Super Bowl and they shellacked the Kansas City Chiefs. We all saw it. Their one tough game in a blizzard was against the Los Angeles Rams. And Matthew Stafford and those boys gave him a run for their money. And it came down to the wire, and the Philadelphia Eagles were ultimately able to survive. What does the Los Angeles Rams do this year? They go to Chicago in freezing temperatures, sub-freezing temperatures, and they handled their business, and they escaped with a 2017 victory, despite Sean McVay admitting it wasn't the best game he ever called, and they still found a way. Now you got to go up against Seattle and that defense, and that home crowd, and that 12th man. And I'm saying to you, if anybody's capable of pulling it off, it's Matthew Stafford and it's Sean McVay. I don't believe Sean McVay's going to have two bad coaching games in him. I think he's going to show up this weekend. I'm looking at Matthew Stafford, and I know he's going to show up because the brother's a winner. He's spectacular. And Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua, listen, it's wishful thinking, I know, because Seattle is the favorites, and they should be. But I'm telling you right now, I think the Rams can beat them. I think the Rams can take them. I really, really do. Last time the Rams were in Seattle, they lost 38-37. That means they dropped 37 points on Seattle. They had a 30-14 lead going into the fourth quarter. It was a collapse, no doubt about it. And you got to give Seattle all the credit in the world, and you got to give Sam Darnold credit for overcoming two turnovers. But in the end, I saw a Los Angeles Rams team that were balling. I saw Matthew Stafford throw for 457 yards. I saw the offense accumulate over 580 yards. You accumulate over 580 yards. You got a quarterback that throws for nearly over 450 yards. You are plus +3 in a turnover differential, and you're still lost. You know what the record was of people in the past that had over 500 yards of offense and a plus +3 in a turnover differential department? You know what the record for those teams were? 34-0 until the Rams blew it a few weeks ago. Now's the opportunity to make amends. You Seattle, this ain't San Francisco, baby. No Brandon Ayuk, no Deebo Samuel. You got Jennings, you got C-Mac. George Kittle was out, no George Kittle either. You had Brock Purdy, and you had C-Mac, Christian McCaffrey. That's it, that's all you had. This ain't that. These Los Angeles Rams have a bevy of other weapons, and I expect them to see them utilize it. Their defense has not been over anything to brag about since week 13. I get it. But Verse has a field day going after Sam Darnold, and I think that's going to continue. This is the game of games right here. This is going to be a special encounter. I have no doubt in my mind. It's going to be epic, and I can't wait to see it. But I got to tell you something else, too. You should want the Rams to win if you're interested in an exciting Super Bowl. Seattle's defense is so elite, they can end up making the Super Bowl boring. Because even though they could put up some points on offense and they could make some noise, they could also put some stinkers up in there. I mean, recently, remember, they beat, you know, they won games. They beat San Francisco like 13-3 in the season finale. That's the kind of Super Bowl we had. Remember when L.A. Rams lost 13-3 with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in New England in the Super Bowl? I think it was Sean McVay's second year. See, we don't want that kind of Super Bowl. We don't want that kind of Super Bowl. I want some scoring. I want some excitement. I want a thriller. I think the Rams versus New England could give me that. And that's what I'm rooting for. So, yes, Seattle should be the favorites, but I got the Rams winning. Round 31-27. New England's another matter. If the Rams end up not winning this game, no harm, no foul. Seattle's an elite team with an elite defense, exceptionally well coached by McDonald. And it would make perfect sense. What kind of damn excuse would the New England Patriots have if they lose this game to the Denver Broncos being quarterbacked by Jarrett Stidham? People on the air joking, Stiddy, Stiddy, Stiddy. Oh, shut up. I don't want to hear that. He's a backup quarterback that hasn't thrown a pass in 2 years. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying he can't play. I'm not saying he doesn't belong in an NFL roster. I'm not saying that the Denver Broncos can't win this game with Jarrett Stidham. I'm saying if you're the New England Patriots coming off back-to-back 4-13 seasons and your program, your franchise is resurrected because Mike Vrabel comes on board and he elevates the play of Drake May along with Josh McDaniels and they return the New England Patriots to its glory days. Let me tell you something. If that is really the truth and your 14-3 record is truly legitimate, despite you having the weakest schedule in the NFL since the 1999 Rams, if you are to be believed, if you are to be legitimized, there is no excuse for you losing to a backup quarterback who has not thrown a pass in 2 years. Jarrett Stidham hasn't thrown a pass since December of 2023. I don't want to hear what anybody has to say about him. It's been 25 months. It's been 750 days since Jarrett Stidham last threw an NFL pass. And you're going to let him, if you're the New England Patriots, step on a field in a mile high city, and you're going to let him derail you from going to the Super Bowl for the first time since Tom Brady departed? Are you nuts? You can't let that happen. You cannot let that happen. I've said it before and I said it again. Don't let this happen. New England, listen to me. Let them people talk this junk to you all they want to. Let them sit up there and try to engage you in fool's gold. Let them talk what they talking. I'm warning you. You like life in the state of Massachusetts? You like life in Boston? Foxborough? You sure? You want to be able to walk the streets? You want to be okay? You don't want to be heckled and harassed? I suggest you win this damn game. I suggest you win this damn game. Don't let these people in Massachusetts or anywhere else lie to you. It ain't going to be pleasant. You can, if Bo Nix was quarterbacking, you going to Denver, your number one seed, it's just a football game. Go out there, play your best. Denver plays its best, may the best team win. That's not what's going on here. Jarrett Stidham is quarterbacking the Denver Broncos. He is a backup. He has started 4 games in his career. He has won 1 of them. And he has not thrown a pass in an NFL game since December of 2023. There is no excuse. No excuse for Jarrett Stidham to beat you. You let that happen, you ain't going to live it down. I'm telling you that right now. And I'm not talking about, well, you know what? Drake May throws 2 pick sixes or something like that, and y'all end up losing the game 13-14-3 or something like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you can't let Jarrett Stidham go out there and throw for 250, 300-plus yards, couple of touchdown passes, and looking like he Bo Nix or better. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. Now, needless to say, there's been some sound coming out of this game because – a lot of people have been talking, and one of them is Sean Payton. Listen to the coach of the Denver Broncos talking about why he wanted to bring Jarrett Stidham to Denver. Listen to this.
I liked him first. We had good grades with him in New Orleans coming out of Auburn. New England drafted him. And then when you see a move where Josh goes to become the head coach and then you see it, a transaction – you know, and I have a lot of respect for Josh, and I knew that he liked him. He really played well in that 49er game, you know, against a real good defense. And so that's when we became aggressive.
Well, that's nice. Fine, good, and dandy. But here's the real sound that you want to hear from Sean Payton talking about 2 weeks to rest for the Super Bowl. Listen to Sean Payton, the coach of the Denver Broncos, sticking out his chest in a real way. Listen to this.
Coach, for about the past month, you've had a message to fans every single week about noise. Do you have a message for them this week with it being the final game?
Well, they're going to have plenty of rest after this one, 2 weeks.
Talk about the fans. Do you have a message for the fans? You understand? And Sean Payton talking about come out there, bring it all, because you're going to have 2 weeks to rest after this. In other words, 2 weeks, and then we go in the Super Bowl. You know, very, very confident. Very, very confident. Okay? Kayshawn Booty from the New England Patriots obviously had a response to the Broncos and their fans and how they can rest in Cancun. Listen to this.
Not that you guys need any extra motivation, but did you see the Sean Payton quote insinuating that Denver fans will have some extra rest for the Super Bowl?
No, I never seen it.
You said you have 2 weeks to rest up for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I ain't seen it.
Does that matter to you guys at all?
You can rest in Cancun, too, at the end of the day. So it is what it is.
They can rest in Cancun, too. Go ahead, bro. I ain't mad at you. Needless to say, Jarrett Stidham, with everybody talking about him, it's only fair to hear from the now starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos, who will be throwing his first pass in over 2 years. Listen to what he has to say about himself entering the AFC Championship game this Sunday.
I've prepared the same every single week like I am the starter. Just hasn't obviously been that way, minus 2 weeks. So my preparation hasn't changed one bit, and Yeah, that's just kind of how I view it. It's still the same game. So obviously there's implications and, you know, winner advances, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's still football. And that's how I view it. So I'm not treating it any differently. I'm not treating my preparation any differently. I'm just going to go out there and play and be myself. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, I'm not going to try to be somebody that I'm not.
Mad respect to Jarrett Stidham. He's saying all the right things. And he's been in this league long enough where there's no reason for him to be scared or anything like that. And I get that part. My only point is this. None of that should matter. Because this is not an indictment against his skill. It's not an indictment against what he's bringing to the table as a talent. It's simply highlighting the fact that, yo, you haven't thrown a pass in an NFL game in 2 years. And your first piece of action is going to be in an AFC championship game against a top five defense in the New England Patriots. We're going to find out what New England, this ain't about Jarrett Stidham. If he goes out there and wets the bed, damn, he ain't playing 2 years. And he went against an elite team. This ain't about Jarrett Stidham. This is about the New England Patriots. You cannot lose this game. You cannot lose this game. You got to show up. And that's the real point in all of this. The New England Patriots have got to show up. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Transitioning to the NBA, Baxter Holmes, ESPN.com, wrote a lengthy piece on the bus. Dr. Jerry Buss, former owner for the Los Angeles Lakers of the NBA, who passed away in 2013, if I remember correctly. Baxter Holmes wrote an article, a lengthy article, on the Buss family infighting that drove the $10 billion sale of the Los Angeles Lakers to Mark Walters. Now, if you remember, Mark Walters also owns the Los Angeles Dodgers. He owns the Sparks, etc. He's obviously a multi-billionaire. He also owned 26% of the Lakers at the time he put in a bid to buy a majority stake of the team. This story that Baxter Holmes wrote, obviously a lot of material in there, props to him. He highlighted the rift between Jeannie Buss and her siblings. In the end, the sale of the Los Angeles Lakers, the Buss family can complain all they want to about Jeannie, but here's the reality. Dr. Jerry Buss purchased it for $67 million. They sold it for $10 billion. Okay? $10 billion. That's number one. Number two, Jeannie Buss walks away with over a half a billion dollars in her pocket while still maintaining the role as governor of the franchise. And, you know, that's big time. You don't see that happening. The siblings, Johnny, Jimmy, you know, all of these names, my God. They all, Jesse, others, they all walked away with a huge bag in their pocket. None of them are poor. None of them are living on the streets. Okay? It's just that Jeannie didn't want them associated with the Lakers anymore. Whether you care about that or not, most people might not. What most people might care about is how the article intimated that Jeannie was very, very frustrated with LeBron James. How she felt he took too much credit for the Lakers title run. How it was like he did the Lakers a favor by coming instead of the Lakers being appreciated for the storied basketball franchise that they are. And how lucky he was to be a part of the Lakers franchise. Drafting Bronny James, accordingly, LeBron wasn't appreciative enough of that, all of this other stuff. These are the things that the article alluded to. Before I tell you my thoughts, let's hear from LeBron James, because it's only right he was the one that was talked about here. And LeBron James, after another loss to the Los Angeles Clippers last night, was asked about this stuff, the article and everything, and here was the response from LeBron James himself. Listen up.
Quite frankly, I don't really care about articles. I really don't. I don't care about stories. I don't care about podcasts and all that type of it don't bother me. 41 years old, and I watch golf every day. I don't care about an article. I don't care how somebody feel about me. If you know me personally, and then you know what I'm about. These guys know what I'm about, and that's all that matters. I can care less how somebody feel about me.
Regarding that part about LeBron James not caring, he's lying his ass off. That's a damn lie. It's a bold-faced lie. Trust you me, I know from experience, the brother cares. He cares about the narrative. It frustrates the living hell out of him that he can't control the narrative as much as he would like. That part is a lie. Furthermore, to sit up there and talk about and highlight podcasts or whatever, well, then why the hell do you have one? He had a podcast. He had a podcast with J.J. Redick under it, on it. Him and J.J. Redick did it. Next thing you know, Darvin Ham is out as the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, and J.J. Redick is in as the head coach. Now, I'm not here to cast aspersions. I love Darvin Ham. I thought he did a good job with the Los Angeles Lakers. I thought he deserved a lot of credit for taking them to the Western Conference Finals. But I'm here to tell you right now, I think J.J. Redick is going to be a star in the NBA as a coach. I really, really believe that. I believe in J.J. Redick. We get along. We work together on ESPN. I have profound respect for that brother. This ain't nobody calling him out. The opportunity, regardless of the credentials that he had, he played in the year in the league for years, didn't coach on any level, but the bottom line, coaching his kid or whatever, but his knowledge about the game of basketball, particularly the NBA level, I'm telling y'all right now, it can't be denied. And I think that J.J. Redick is going to be a star in this league as a coach. And I also love the fact that he's got a great staff with Nate McMillan and Scott Brooks and those brothers. Mad respect and love for J.J. Redick. I'm only addressing the point that LeBron ain't telling the truth when he says he doesn't care, because he always cares about the narrative. What I will also say to you is that that is the only thing to take issue with what he said. Let's understand something right now. Jeannie Buss would never tell you publicly what that article stated because she knows better. LeBron James is the reason the Los Angeles Lakers became relevant. He's the reason they won the championship when they won in the bubble. What LeBron James has done for the Los Angeles Lakers franchise is immeasurable because they were nothing for 6 years, at least. It was as bad as it had been in a very, very long time. Dr. Buss would have been rolling over in his grave. He was rolling over in his grave at that particular moment in time because of what Jeannie was trying to accomplish and the way her siblings was getting in her damn way. To know Jeannie Buss is not only to respect her, it is to revere her. She is a wonderful woman. Now, she got to make business decisions. You understand? That family members ain't going to like. Because they were about being a part of the Lakers and holding on to the brand and what their daddy had built instead of being as effective as they needed to be in helping her return the Los Angeles Lakers to the glory days. LeBron James did that. Let's keep it a buck. We're not going to be unfair to him. This man resurrected the Los Angeles Lakers franchise. And you got people looking at him today and a $52-plus million that he's making. I got news for you. Ladies and gentlemen, LeBron James is underpaid. He's underpaid. He deserves more. Are you ready for this? He actually deserved having his kid drafted if that's what he wants. That's how much he did for the Lakers. That's how much he's done for the NBA. Whether we like it or not, let's be fair. Everybody knows my track record with him. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to be fair to him. He deserves everything he's gotten from the Lakers and more. Period. He's underpaid. Now that doesn't mean that we put on blinders and act like we're oblivious to some of the duplicitous shit he's pulled. But nobody's perfect. In the end, he is a plus, 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 plus to the Lakers franchise. And nobody knows that better than Jeannie Buss. Nobody. Has he gotten on her nerves sometimes? Sure. Has she gotten on his nerves sometimes? I'm quite sure. Has Clutch, who represents LeBron and represented Anthony Davis and all of this other stuff, have they flexed from time to time? You're damn right they have. Like any agent or any agency would in their position. Let's stop acting like this is major, major news. Rich Paul did nothing wrong here. LeBron James did nothing wrong here. Whatever it was that they wanted. Yeah, you could make an argument about the Russell Westbrook trade and how he didn't accept accountability. Oh, stop it. They won a championship. He thought Russell Westbrook would be a bigger help than it actually turned out to be, and it didn't work out. Russell Westbrook in a Clippers uniform was better. Russell Westbrook, before he got to L.A., when he was in a Houston Rockets uniform, was something to behold. Don't get me started at Mr. Triple-Double himself and what he meant to the Oklahoma City Thunder franchise. Let's just understand. This is LeBron James we're talking about here. They lying his ass off about not caring about the narrative. That's true. But everything else, nah, he don't deserve that. Lakers should be grateful. And they are. Because of what he's done to resurrect that brand and that franchise. Let's keep that in mind. Let's also keep in mind is that if it were not for LeBron, there wouldn't have been no title because you wouldn't have got Anthony Davis. And in all likelihood, if you didn't have Anthony Davis with LeBron and winning the title years earlier, you wouldn't have had Luka Doncic years later. Let's keep that in mind, too. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Your calls and a guest up next. Stick around. Don't touch that dial. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.